episode is marked for sensitive content. Please check content warnings in the episode description before listening. This week on the Breakup Breakdown.
He came in and all of a sudden I just hear the cops are here and they want to talk to you. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I go to the front door and there's a female and a male cop standing there. And I'm like, hi. And they're like, hi. So he told us the situation and I kind of chuckled. And I was like, situation? Oh, what situation? I'm like, really curious to hear what you guys have to say about this. And that's when I laughed. So I said, oh, I'm going to make sure this is all documented because he is not going to get away with this.
Nobody ever says yes to a marriage proposal thinking it's going to end with your fiance calling the police on you. Welcome to season 8, episode 4 of the Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And this week, our guest says her fiance called the cops on her after they broke up. And if you're wondering where these crazy breakup stories come from, I take them through a form in the episode description. We don't care where the story comes from. We just care about getting the tea, but also getting some good lessons along the way. So if you want to nominate yourself, a friend, somebody you've seen on social media, or if you want me to slide into somebody's DMs and ask why they keep soft launching their breakup, feel free to submit those. Again, the submission form is in the episode description. And if you want to jump to a certain part of the interview, timestamps, once again, in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of the Breakup Breakdown. This week, we've got a submission where our guest said she was totally blindsided when her fiance broke things off with her after they moved across the country. Before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week, we are shouting out the Coburn Place in Indianapolis, Indiana. They offer compassionate support and safe housing choices for survivors of domestic violence and their children. For more details on the Coburn Place, again, check the episode description. Okay, so we've got a social media submission about somebody who said their fiance broke up with them and completely blindsided them. Now, for me, when it comes to these types of submissions and I see like, oh, somebody got blindsided by their boyfriend, I always know there's going to be some red flags ahead. But when somebody says that their fiance broke things off or they broke up with a fiance, for me, those always hit a little bit more in like a place of shock because I feel like people aren't going to commit to forever. Unless they really feel like they can stand the test of time. Now, that's just like making a generalization. But I feel like if you've got some major red flags in your relationship, typically you're not making it to the marriage proposal. This girl hops on TikTok and she's telling her followers, her 80,000 followers, that she got a call from her fiance that she was not anticipating.
So about 2 months ago, I was on the phone with my fiance at the time. He finally goes, I'm just stressed. I'm like, okay, what about? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, just tell me, like, quit beating around the bush at this point. And he finally just out of the blue says, I just don't want to be with you anymore. I'm unhappy. And I've been unhappy for a while. So naturally, I'm like, what? Because mind you, that morning, he was texting me, good morning, beautiful. I love you. I hope you have a great day. I do have the screenshots for proof because you know I come with receipts. So of course my mind went to instantly, okay, who is she? He swore up and down. There was no one else. He's just been unhappy for a long time. And I'm like, well, again, this is news to me because what?
Okay, so who is this girl? Like, was he actually cheating on her with somebody? How do they mean? What's the story there, if there is one? And how does it end up with her getting the cops called on her at the end of their relationship? Well, let's get all the details when we break down this week's breakup.
So we actually met during COVID. And of course, during that time where we lived, there was nothing open. So we literally, like, everyone was kind of forced to hang out at people's houses or, you know, we did bonfires. And I had a friend of mine who had invited me over to their house. They were having a cookout. And so I was like, yeah, sure. I have nothing else to do. And he happened to be there. Now, initially, I was not attracted to him. Like, he wasn't someone that I initially was like drawn to. But he was the only other guy there that, you know, the other guys that were there, they were all friends with me. I was just like, okay, whatever. What initially drew me to him, though, and it's kind of a funny story, but my other girlfriends were there and they started having like a dance off and the girl started twerking. Well, he jumped in and started twerking next to her. And I thought it was the funniest thing ever. But then I was like, wait, wow. Okay. He's got moves. And my guy friend that invited me was like, hey, well, he's actually coming on our friend's trip to us. We had this cabin in the woods type of vacation trip planned in a couple of weeks. Anyway, he got invited to go. And so I was like, oh, okay, this could be interesting. So that's kind of like where it all began. We had mutual friends. From that point on, I had been single for a couple years just from like terrible relationships. And at that point, I was like, I am never dating again. We became friends. We started hanging out more as like a group. And then eventually it turned into like just us hanging out, but it was very friendly. There was nothing more to it. Then he kind of let me know that he had feelings of more than just friends, and he wanted to pursue something more than that with me. And I still was like, I don't know, because one, you're not my type. Didn't tell him this, of course, but in my head, I was like, I just don't know if I'm ready for that. Anyway, so we still hung out, and we spent a lot of time together in group settings and then just us. I think for me, initially, it took several months before I actually said, okay, let's give this a go. I think for me, it was because of his consistency. Like, I was getting, even when we were friends, I would get the good morning text, text throughout the day, just like, hey, hope you're having a great day, which was kind of weird for me because I've never experienced that with just a friend before. And so I was like, okay, well, he's very consistent. I mean, this went on for like 3 months before I finally said, okay, maybe I'm doing something wrong from prior relationships. Let me try something different. Even though that initial spark wasn't there. So I will say, like, it grew. I feel like it kind of like grew more into like a relationship where I saw it more as like the emotional connection, or so what I thought would have been more emotional, just because of how consistent he was with reassuring me, and all these things. And I talk about this a lot even after, everything went down, but he gave me the princess treatment. Like, I felt, and people always ask me, like, what do you see in him? Because he wasn't my normal type. And every time I got asked that question, the number one reason was because of how consistent he was with just being present. And then also, again, the princess treatment. I wasn't used to having like little handwritten notes all over the place and random flowers and just because, or, him picking up some of my favorite snacks at the store if he knew I was having a bad day, stuff like that, right? So that was like very consistent behavior as well. And then that's when I decided, okay, like, let's give this a go. Like, clearly, he's putting in the effort, his actions are matching his words and vice versa. So we started dating. Well, I would say for probably a good solid the first 2 years, like, I felt like he worshiped the ground I walked on. In his eyes, there's no one else. Like, I was like, okay, wow, this is different. Because again, I was married before. That was a long time ago, but it was like different. It was like I was always comparing that relationship to my recent one, just because of the feelings that were involved. I feel like the feelings were stronger in the previous relationship, but again, I had never experienced that consistency with someone. So that's initially what drew me in. Fast forward, we dated for several years. We didn't have any really like hiccups until about a year into our relationship. We were celebrating our 1 year anniversary, so we went to like our first date spot. We had brunch. We ended up having like a whole Sunday fun day with our friends because it was during football season and they were all out having fun. And so we met up with them. He ended up drinking a little too much, and when we got home that night, because it was on a Sunday, I worked in the medical field, so I was like, I have to get up early. I have to be coherent. And so I was the designated driver. We get back to the house, he completely passes out on the floor, and I'm like trying to pick him off the floor. I'm like, okay, you got to go upstairs. Like, come on. He gets upstairs, passes out in the hallway on the floor again. And at this point, I'm getting ready for bed. I'm like putting my pajamas on, washing my face, just getting everything ready for the next day. And in the corner, his phone is like going off like crazy. And I'm like, first of all, who could be texting him this late at night? It is 1 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, And so I made the mistake, or maybe it's not a mistake, but I went through his phone and saw that he had been texting his, now to this day, he doesn't call her an ex, but they definitely hooked up. So in my head, like, that it was more than a friendship kind of relationship. He had been texting this girl that he was friends with for several years. She was married, had children of her own. She had originally messaged him out of the blue, just saying, hey, I'm thinking of you. Had this dream about you. And yeah, I felt like I kind of needed to tell you this. Well, his responses were very vague. It was kind of just like, oh, wow, good to hear from you. But like, also, like, kind of, what's this dream about? And she didn't really go into detail, but she made it well known what it was kind of about. So they kind of talked throughout the day. But because we were together that that day. I feel like anytime he would get up to go to the bathroom or anytime I wasn't around, that was his opportunity to respond to her. So it wasn't like a full-blown, like all day thing, but there were several messages exchanged. The last of the messages ended up being like, "I think about you all the time. I miss you," kind of on both of their ends. So I was kind of like, well, that's kind of weird coming from a married woman with children and she knows you're in a relationship. But here we are. So I went to him while he was on the floor and I kind of nudged him. I was like, you got to get up. And also, why are you texting your ex? And he kind of, I mean, it sobered him up real quick. So he sat up and he was like, what? His first initial reaction was, why are you going through my phone? La da 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 da. Like, kind of went off the handle. This is like the first time I saw him super aggressive and violent. And again, we had been together for a year. So there was like, we had no issues. This was like our very first big fight or whatever you want to call it. He gets up off the floor, runs after me to grab his phone, and then was so angry, he threw his phone at the TV, broke it, shattered it. It kind of did one of those monkey spider, little things trickling down the screen, kicked a hole in the wall, punched several holes in my closet door, got aggressive with me and grabbed me kind of like on the arms and like shoved me against the wall. And I thought he was going to hit me. Like in that moment, I was kind of like, oh my gosh. Like he ended up going to bed in the other guest room and I went to bed. Woke up the next morning, went to go like try to talk to him. He claims that he didn't remember anything, and I told him what he did, very specifically what he did, and the waterworks and oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did that. That doesn't sound like something I would do. And of course, like me thinking, okay, well, obviously alcohol was involved, which is never an excuse in my eyes, but I was like, okay, well, here's the thing. If this ever happens again, I'm done. So you either quit drinking, because clearly that was the issue in this situation, and you never talk to that girl again because that was inappropriate. And as a married woman with children, knowing that you're in a relationship, I feel like a lot of boundaries were crossed on both ends. So he agreed and he was like, I promise I will never do this again. I will stop drinking, yada, yada, yada. Please just give me another chance. And so I did. And for several months, he didn't touch alcohol. And so I was like, okay, again, his words are matching his actions. So like moving forward, I was like, okay, well, when you're in a relationship with someone you love, someone you care about them, you kind of tend to look past these so-called flaws and you compromise and you work with them because it's something that he couldn't control. And again, it got a little bit better, but then we were getting ready to move. I came home from work one day and he had a realtor at our townhome. He was like, yeah, so I got a job offer, something I've been thinking about, but if I take the job, it's going to require me to be gone a lot. I'll be on the road a lot. I'll never be home. So what do you think about moving where you're closer to both of your parents that live there now? And I was like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Like leading up to this, I had a vehicle, I had my own job, I had another side job that I kind of had my own business going. And I had all these things. I had all my friends there. And I was kind of like, okay, do I leave all this stuff? I can always start a new job there, I guess. But I kind of went back and forth. We decided, let's just go for it. Let's take the risk and let's move. So fast forward, we make the move. He starts his new job a month later. And when I say he was never home, he would be gone for 2 to 3 months at a time, at the most 3 months, but usually about a month or two. And then he would come home from anywhere from like 7 to 10 days. And this went on for a while. And it worked. I mean, I didn't have any issues with it. Like I ran my business, so I was working a lot when he wasn't there and, kind of doing my own thing. And then when he would come back, we would try to take trips or just spend time together. And because I did work from home, we had that flexibility of just doing things. I noticed it started getting really bad when we moved, and I'm not sure where it went wrong. I don't know if it was the people he was working around. Some of the people that he worked with had drug issues. And the company didn't really seem to care about that. Also, a lot of the men that he worked with were all in relationships, but all cheating on their wives or fiancés, et cetera. And he would tell me this. He would openly tell me this. And like, he would be like, oh, it's disgusting. Like, I don't know how these guys do these things. And one guy has a wife with children, and then he's got a side chick on the side, but he's got two different phones. And he was like telling me all the things. And so I was like, wow, this is actually scary. Just be careful with who you associate with because it's kind of a reflection on you. And anyway, he was like, yeah, no, I know. Like, I want nothing to do with these guys. Well, then come to find out, he was doing the same thing. Or, you know, later down the road, I would find these things out. Okay, so then if we fast forward to the breakup, he was still out of town for work. He was supposed to be coming home about like a week and a half later. I just got finished with the job and we FaceTimed almost every night, unless I was working those nights. And we get on FaceTime, we're talking about our days. We were on the phone for a good 30 to 45 minutes. And I just kind of noticed a shift in his like attitude or demeanor. He just kind of sat there, was not really like paying attention to anything I was saying, kind of fidgety at the same time. And so I kind of stopped what I was saying. I was like, "Are you okay? Like, are you good? Are you seem a little off." Like, you, and he was like, "No, I'm fine." I'm like, "Okay, are you sure? Because you're not acting like it." He was like, "Yeah, no, it's just been a long day at work." So I brushed it off, continued talking about what we were talking about. Then I started noticing again, like he wasn't even like looking at the phone. He's kind of looking off and like looking around. And I'm like, okay, hold, what is going on? Like, talk to me. Like, clearly something is like bothering you. He's like, oh, I've just been really stressed. And in my head, I didn't think anything of it. He had talked to me, you know, previously about situations that he's had to deal with his employees at work and some of the jobs that he was on. And that's where my head went. And so I was like, okay, well, do you want to talk about it? Clearly, you're upset. Like, here I am, talk about it. And he was like, I don't know. And I'm like, I had to pry it out of him because obviously, like, I knew in that moment something was wrong. And it was more than just from what he was telling me. So then he finally goes, well, I guess I'm just stressed with us. And I was like, well, what about us? And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, well, is it the trip? Because we had a trip coming up. My best friend was getting married in Mexico and it was like kind of a last minute thing. So there was like a lot of like financial, like a lot of money that had to be put into this trip with tickets and the resort and just all the things and finding a house and pet sitter and just everything. So he goes, well, just like our relationship. And I'm like, can you just spit it out already? Just tell me, like, what are you thinking? He goes, I just don't want to be with you anymore. And I was like, what? What? And he's like, I just don't want to be with you anymore. I'm not in love with you. I haven't been happy for a very long time. And mind you, I was like, okay, what? Like, this is so out of the blue. Like, where did this come from? So initially, my first thought was, who is she? That's the first thing I asked him. I said, who is she? Because this doesn't make sense. People don't just switch up overnight. You literally this morning texted me, good morning, beautiful. I love you. I hope you have a great day. And then, you know, people joke me on the time, and I will like full disclosure, you know, every month we would acknowledge our anniversary. It would just be like, oh, another month together, many more to come kind of thing. People, when I originally posted a video about this, people went crazy because they were like, oh my God, month anniversaries, that's crazy. And I'm like, first of all, this was his idea. Second of all, we didn't celebrate. It was just kind of like an acknowledgement thing. So he acknowledged our anniversary, and I use that in quotes because it was just not like a year anniversary. But anyway, besides the point, yeah, so he just was sticking to a story that he just wasn't happy. He hasn't been happy for a long time, which was completely news to me because, mind you, a few weeks prior to that, it was my birthday and Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day, he was home and we didn't really do anything. We never really like went out because it's just always crazy at restaurants. But we went and got like strawberries at the store. We made like chocolate covered strawberries together. He even went and got crawfish so we could have a crawfish boil with like us. And then like we invited some neighbors over. I even went live on TikTok that day and he was like in the live, dancing around. And so it was just the switch up was so crazy how you could go from telling me that you have been unhappy for a while and you don't want to be with me anymore to, you know, from that. So we eventually got off the phone because I was like, there's nothing I can say. Like, clearly you've made up your mind and it is what it is. And so we hang up. I go to bed because it was late at night. And I just remember waking up in the middle of the night and my best friend, I had so many notifications. I'm like, whoa, what is happening? And so the only notification I checked was my best friend. And she was like, what is this? And she took screenshots because apparently he went, like, not even an hour after we got off the phone, went on Facebook, took all our photos down, changed his relationship status, like, really quick, right? I'm thinking, okay, we still have to like have this conversation in person. So like I wasn't gonna like say anything or tell anyone until we actually had the talk. And yeah, for him to do that like so fast, I was like, okay, there's clearly something more to this. I texted him the next morning and I just said, I don't understand any of this. I understand you've made up your mind and like I am accepting that, but you need to know like how hurtful this is to like hear this, be completely blindsided, for you to like change all your socials and make it obvious that we're not together anymore, when I like haven't even had a chance to like process this. And all he responded was something along the lines of, everything I said I meant. And it was so corny. I was like, oh, literally all I said was, okay. So we didn't talk for days. Days go by. I sat in my house with my animals and I just like processed everything and kind of reflected on the last 4 years of my life and the man I thought I was about to marry, which thank God we didn't, because how can you just treat someone like that? So I processed everything, but then I'm like, okay, I still have a business to run. So I decided to go on TikTok Live, that's where I do my business, my jewelry business. And had no intention of talking about anything I just went through, but it ended up getting brought up because someone that I hadn't seen in a long time came through and they were like, wow, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in like over a year. How are things? Like, what's new? Me knowing me, I kind of went straight to humor. So earlier that day, there was like a couple things, like I had dropped, you know, my coffee all over the floor and I ended up grabbing the crock pot and burned my hands. And then of course, you know, just one thing after the next. So I made a joke and I was like, well, you know, this happened. I just burned my hand on the crock pot. Oh, and my fiance just ended things with me out of the blue. And I'm like laughing about it. I'm kind of just like, haha, yeah, you know. And everyone's like, wait, what? And they're like, are you joking? Is this April Fool's? I'm like, no, like literally this just happened a couple days ago. So then what broke me is when someone in the comments asked about our dog, well, his dog, but like the dog that I considered my own that I took care of for the last 4 years. And they said, well, what's going to happen? And I lost it. I started crying. And like uncontrollably, well, I didn't say anything bad. Like I kind of talked about like what I knew, because at that point I knew nothing. All I knew is that he didn't want to be with me anymore. And that was it. And I didn't know what was going to happen with the dog. So all of a sudden, I think it was probably about 5 minutes later, I start getting text messages from him and threatening messages and him saying stuff like, I would watch what you say if I were you. And then also, don't forget who pays the electric bill and the phone and access of the phone bill and stuff like that. And I'm like, are you like threatening me? No, I'm not threatening you. I'm just reminding you, and like stuff like this. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So then of course I'm getting more upset because I'm like, and I had him blocked. Like I blocked him, his mom. So I don't, it could have been a friend watching who was like relaying this stuff to him. It could have been another family member. Could have been we'll get to that. It could have been someone else that he was having relations with. I just didn't understand where this like anger came from, because I literally hadn't even said his name or like bashed him or said anything bad about him. I was just talking about what I just went through. So then of course it got really bad and everyone was like, he has to be cheating on you because this is not normal behavior. Like this is erratic, and the fact that he's so angry and treating you like you're the one who cheated and just like completely, you know, ruined his life, like this doesn't make sense. And I'm like, you're right, it doesn't make sense. So one could only assume that there had to have been someone else, even though he was denying it left and right. So anyway, fast forward, he didn't come home for another week. And of course, his behavior started to get more angry towards me through messages. So I wanted to cover my own ass at this point. And I said, you know what, before you come home, I want you to let me know so I can either have my stepdad here or have the cops be here. So I'm like, I feel safe, because I do not feel safe with how you're treating me and his past behavior, of course. So he just like started like reacting and like laughing at every message I had to say. Never told me when he was coming home. Showed up one morning. I was still asleep. I think it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. And I hear the garage door opening. So I'm like, okay, great. He's back. I kind of just sat. I was in the guest room at this point. I moved all my stuff out into the guest room. He came in and all of a sudden I just hear the cops are here and they want to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? So I go to the front door and there's a female and a male cop standing there. And I'm like, hi. And they're like, hi. So he told us the situation and I kind of chuckled and I was like, situation? Oh, what situation? I'm like, really curious to hear what you guys have to say about this. And they kind of stopped and like, well, he called us because he wanted us to be here because he told us the situation and all he wants is a peaceful transfer or, you know, transition. He wants a peaceful transition with no issues. And that's when I laughed because I said, oh, is that what he told you? And I knew their, you know, little vests were recording. So I said, oh, I'm going to make sure this is all documented because he is not going to get away with this. And I just laughed and I said, is that what he told you? I said, because the threatening text messages say otherwise. And they kind of looked at each other and looked at me. And I think that's kind of when they put two and two together, that they kind of realized that he was lying. So he's like standing there and he's like, he puts on this whole act and he's like, do you guys need me to step aside so you can have a conversation with her if she feels safer that way? Like, and I'm like, no, you don't need to walk away. Like, we can have this conversation. And so the cops are like, okay, well, basically, we're just here to like make sure everything's under control. And if you guys need anything, here's a number you can call. It's like a non-emergency. But like, if you need someone to be here as like a mediator, I was like, it's fine. I have my parents right up the road. And he goes, yeah. And I have the neighbor across the street. And I'm like, okay. Okay. So the cops leave. I go back into my room and I'm like texting my best friend and texting my mom and like keeping them up to date with everything. And he then comes to the room. And at this point, well, can I say, oh, he had a weapon. I'll just say he had a weapon on his hip. Like, entirety of our relationship, this weapon stayed in my nightstand for my protection, obviously, because he was never home. So he then goes to grab it, holsters it to his hip, and is walking around the house, which was the funniest thing ever because, again, in the 4 years that we were together, he never carried that thing on him. So I was kind of like, okay, what is this, like a scare tactic? And he just like laughed and like ignored me, but then comes in my room and like hands me some papers and he goes, you've officially been served. And I cracked up because when I looked at these papers, I'm thinking, first of all, the cops were just here. Why didn't you have them serve me? But also, like, why are there coffee stains and like scribble marks all over this paper? I call them Temu papers because literally, like, sorry, Temu. Literally, there was like the grammar. I mean, it looked like they took it off the internet, just like a template, and like tried to fill it in, but they forgot to like delete some of the lines, like where the signature should be. And like, anyway, so it was like his name, but then the line, and then it was just, anyway, scribble marks everywhere. The dates weren't even correct. And so I literally took pictures of it and I kind of just like frisbeed them at the door and I said, get out of here. This is a joke. Okay. Because he was trying to say I had like 24 hours to get out of the house. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, legally, I have 30 days. I know my rights, but okay, whatever you think. But I was not even interested in staying longer than I need to at this point. So it was on a Saturday when he came home. I reserved a storage unit, but I couldn't go there until Monday because their office was closed on Sundays. And then the only other step was to get the U-Haul. Well, he had canceled me off the car insurance, and you need proof of insurance to rent a vehicle, especially a U-Haul. And so when I told him that, I said, well, how am I supposed to get a U-Haul if you canceled me off the insurance? And he was like, not my problem anymore. Ask your parents. And so I was like, okay. So luckily, my parents lived right up the road because they were the ones that got the U-Haul, brought the U-Haul to me. My stepdad helped me load my stuff in and like take it to the storage unit. So the next day rolls around, Monday morning rolls around, and I am out of there. I'm out of there by like 10 a.m., I think. But I ended up staying because I had a package that was being delivered for my business. It was my inventory, and I couldn't leave until that showed up because that was thousands of dollars worth of product, and I was not going to leave, trust him with that. So I stayed at the house and I was like cleaning up. I even was even gracious enough to like vacuum and like dust the room that I was staying in, but also like the other parts of the house. So my inventory shows up. My stepdad comes over to get me and the remaining last few things of what I had there. And we leave. And I go to my parents' house. And then the very next morning, this is how I found out about that he was actually cheating. He had blocked me on Facebook the day that I moved out. Anyway, he blocked me on Facebook. That was the only app that I think I had him on. Everything else I had blocked him on. And I even changed my phone number. The next morning after I'd moved out, my stepdad was getting ready to leave the house. And I guess he was like, op he opened up the Facebook app. And the first thing that was on his feed was my ex was in a new relationship and posted the girl, tagged her in it. There was pictures and everything. And I was speechless, but I was kind of like, wow, okay, this makes so much sense. And so we took screenshots of it days after that. Even one of my friends had reached out to the girl because we were like, surely she doesn't know about me. Like, there's no way she knew that he had a whole ass fiance, like all the things, right? So one of my good friends reached out to her and messaged her and said, like, hey, did you know he was engaged? Like, you know, all these things. And the girl actually got really nasty. She, in fact, did know about me. Her response to my friend was, I don't give a F, and neither does he. And so she was like boasting about it. They were so loud and proud on social media. So I have a pretty big following on social media. So naturally, because people knew my ex, he was very involved in my social media life. they went to him and they were like calling him out. They even went to the girl and tried to call her out. And then they wanted to play the victim, of course, and say, we've never done anything to you for you to like treat us like this. And we can't believe we're being trolled on the internet. And it's like, what? First of all, if you didn't want to be trolled, maybe you shouldn't have boasted and like made your affair public for the whole world to know. The girl ends up deactivating like all of her social media. And one of my followers actually messaged me and said, not sure you want to see this, but I'm going to send it to you anyway. Well, she sent me screenshots of a whole ass photo shoot they did together. The girl ended up, after only a day of deactivating her social media, reactivates it. And the only reason that it popped up is because when my friend typed in the girl's name in the search bar, the photographer who did the photo shoot, it tagged her in it and said, oh, you look absolutely beautiful and such a wonderful couple. And so I see this and I comment on the photographer's post and I said, wonderful couple. I said, that was my fiance 2 days ago. And she deleted the comment. And so I commented again and I said, you can keep deleting my comments all you want, but like, this is actually embarrassing. And the fact that you run a business, you're a mom, you're a wife, like, this is actually really not a good look. Deletes all my comments again. And at that point, I'm like, okay, you know what? Do your thing, girl. Well, she ends up taking down the post because then, of course, my friends and family and like people were commenting on their photo shoot because he had taken this photo shoot while he was away. Like, this wasn't like anything recent. 2 days after I moved out, they posted their photo shoot and her children were in it. So he was living this whole double life with this girl that he had met on a job site in another state. So he met her on a job site. And yeah, so fast forward after all this had gone down, after him kicking me out of the home where I could have stayed and continued my business and kept the dog and all the things, come to find out he put the house up on the market. So he sold the house, moved to Alabama, where they now live happily ever after, and he quit his job and took another job to be closer to her. So that's how I found out everything. To this day, I don't know if they're together. I think it would be comical if they still were just because of everything. But yeah, it's just one of those situations where it's like, when are people going to learn, especially the other woman? And that's the other thing too. I want to make it very clear that I don't blame her. I fully blame him. Obviously, he's the one who made these, who behaved this way. But also, I always tell people I actually blame three people in this. I blame him. I blame her for knowing and for behaving the way she did. And then also blaming his mom because she raised him and she actually condoned his behavior when it all went down. So.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, and I appreciate you saying, it's not necessarily her fault, but at the same time, like, she was aware he had a whole ass fiance. And while she didn't necessarily owe you anything, I still think if you had been in that situation, like, let's say you were in a completely other relationship and you find out that your boyfriend has a fiance, what would you have done in that scenario? Like, I would have, I'm assuming what I know about you from the last 43 minutes we've been chatting, you would have said something to her.
Absolutely.
Talk to me about how you even recover from something like that, because it's not just your relationship that gets uprooted. It's like your entire life. You have to move out of the house. You now have to see them post all these photos of them. How did you cope with that? Like, did you descend into madness? Did you dive into therapy? What did the following months look like for you?
It's interesting because I had been married before. I got married when I was 22 and got divorced by 27. My ex-husband did the same thing. So it wasn't my first rodeo, and I have been in other relationships where the guy had cheated on me. So again, it wasn't something that I was unfamiliar with. It still hurts nonetheless, but in this situation, it was so different just because of how he moved and how he treated me. And again, like just kind of in the sense, like stripping me of everything that I uprooted my life. You know what I mean? I thought he had good intentions behind everything, but it took me, I mean, it's been 4 months now since everything went down. And I would say I'm still like trying to like deal with everything. It has been very difficult because I didn't know how to like deal with these things. I will say, as far as like the relationship goes, it was easier for me to move on and accept that we were no longer going to be together. And I think it's because when he ended things with me over FaceTime, I was by myself, so I was able to like process and reflect on the last 4 years. And I think I kind of just came to the conclusion a lot quicker than someone that would have had to deal with that person being in the same space as them. I kind of just reflected on everything and realized that, you know what, this is not who I was meant to be with. This is clearly not my person, because the person that I'm supposed to be with, if I'm ever supposed to be with anyone, would never treat me like this or ever do this to someone. And so I realized that very quickly. You know, I'm the type of person that deals with everything like kind of silently and to myself and alone. But a lot of people might look at that and say, oh, that's so unhealthy. But like, that's just how I've always coped with things. So there was a lot of like dark moments in that time where I mean, I cried for months. I cried for months and months. And I'm a little emotional now talking about it just because it is still kind of fresh. But yeah, no one prepares you for these things. Whew, girl, when I tell you I went through it, I went through it. But I know there's like a light at the end of the tunnel and still searching for that light. But I know that it's not a reflection of me ever, that this guy has serious issues and clearly his family does too, because of the fact that they even support it. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, I just like really relied heavily on the support that I was being offered, which I have a lot of amazing friends and family to thank, because without them, I don't know how I would have gotten through this, to be honest.
Well, I'm glad to hear
Ooh.
that you were surrounded, because that clearly, I mean, it's still striking a nerve with you. And I don't think anybody would be
Yeah.
feeling so strongly about such a betrayal to move
Yeah.
life and to think you're going to commit your life to somebody for the second time around. I mean, that takes vulnerability to put yourself out there again and to, you
Yeah.
know, a marriage again and for this to happen. When you think back on this scenario, when you start to get teared up, what is it about that breakup and that relationship that really starts to poke those buttons and make you so emotional about it?
I think a lot of the times too, when I'm like talking about the situation, it's not because of like sadness. Like, I'm not sad at all for the loss of the relationship. Honestly, the like why I get I'm a I get so when I get mad, I cry. I'm one of those people. So I think a lot of the emotions stem from anger, just because it's like, how can someone do this to another person? Like, it's just not right. But to see the behavior, like I said, even from the girl and like his family, for them to condone it. Now, I will say I did have a few of his family members reach out, not like immediate family, but people I had met that had reached out to me, and just they didn't know. They logged into social media one day and saw everything had changed, and they were like just as shocked as everyone else. So they reached out to me just to let me know, like, they're praying for me, they're here for me, and just to know that we do not condone his behavior. And so that, like, that, you know, that helped too, knowing that not all of his family members were evil. Yeah, it's just crazy, because I think when I look back on all the things and like the things that like trigger me the most, it's just, how can someone put someone in this situation, to take everything from them and not even feel bad?
And I'm wondering if you have any theories. Like, why do you think he stepped out on this relationship and chose to blindside you after 4 years of being in a relationship with you?
So, I have a lot of theories, and after I went through this, I was very angry. I went through all the emotions, you know, I went through the grief stage, I went through the sadness, the mad part. But then there's this article that I found where there's like almost like an extra step to grieving now, and it's the disgust phase, where you kind of look at the person and you're kind of like, how did I ever give this person a chance? And I did. I went through that a lot, and I still do. I'm like, oh, how did I ever give this person a chance? He didn't deserve me. But I think it was kind of the aha moment is when I started going down the rabbit hole of like behavioral patterns, because I studied psychology in college. So I don't know, I'm just very fascinated with like how the brain works. And like, sometimes I will never understand how the brain works, because clearly there are people out there that lack no, they just don't have a conscience and morals, and they lack just a lot of things. So I started seeing articles, and of course, I think it was just because I was like opening up about my situation, and I started coming across a lot of things and topics that talked about narcissism. And I feel like we all use that word a lot. We're so easy to call someone that has bad behavior like a narcissist, but I truly didn't understand what it meant to know a narcissist until I met my recent ex, and like after discovering all these personality traits and the characteristics that go hand in hand with it. And when I started reading these articles, I was like, oh my gosh, like, how did I not see this? And some of the, you know, I have a lot of people that ask me, like, well, what are some of the signs, like looking back, like what are things to look out for? And a lot of the things that people say a narcissist will do is They're very good at masking who they are in front of people, but like behind closed doors, like their true colors will shine. But, and this is why I always refer to like as some of his moments as like his mask slipping, is because with narcissists, in the beginning, everything's great, perfect. Like you're kind of like, is this too good to be true? The princess treatment is huge, right? They worship the ground you walk on. And so when I started hearing these things, I was like, oh my God, this was literally the first year and a half to 2 years of our relationship. But then these moments would happen where the mask would slip and he would show his angry side or, his impatient side. And it was more than just like, being impatient about something or, being angry about something small. I mean, these were like really crazy outbursts and moments that he would have. Every time the mask would slip, it was like, oh shoot, oh my gosh, okay, they almost, I almost exposed myself. Let me put it back up. And then he would like, reel it back in by, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And even getting an emotion, like emotional sometimes, and just constantly like, oh, I'm so sorry, it'll never happen again. Like, let me make it up to you. But like trying to distract you by, oh, let's go out to eat to your favorite place. Let me take you shopping to your favorite stores. Like, and doing all these things to kind of cover up the behavior. But I think when you're with someone like that, who is a true narcissist, and anyone who's ever been through like emotional, mental, or even physical abuse, or all of them, I feel like everyone kind of experiences the same thing with, you kind of learn to just zone out those moments. So when they're having their little moment or their outburst or whatever you want to call it, I feel like for me specifically, and I've talked to a lot of people that have gone through the same thing, but we kind of like black out in a way where you kind of just don't remember anything in the moment. And the worst part about it is after the fact, when it's all said and done, I started realizing that he was a true narcissist and he carried a lot of those characteristics because you have like true PTSD. And I was starting to have flashback a couple months ago. I was in the gym and I was in the middle of a workout, and I just all of a sudden had this like crazy flashback of a time, not so good time, where, he was having like a moment and I kind of just like zoned it out because you kind of just like shut down and you try not to, you kind of just let that person do their thing, right? So in the moment, like you don't know what's going on, but then like after the fact, when you're having these flashbacks, it's clear as day and it's almost like you're reliving it again, but you can see every little thing crystal clear. When I started sharing what I went through on live, even in my real life, not just on like TikTok live or even like sharing videos, I had no intention of sharing my story with the thought of, oh, this has got to go viral. I went live a lot and a lot of my followers knew him and knew me and what I was going through. And so I would get the question all the time, like, oh my gosh, what happened? Like, oh, when did this happen? Like, and they were asking all these questions. And I was like, you know what? I am so tired of talking about this and repeating myself. And I felt so bad for my friends who had to hear the story like millions of times over again. So I said, you know what? Let me just make a little video. I'll post it. And that way, if I'm live, I can just say, just go watch the video. And I did. Well, I posted it. The next morning I woke up, I had over a million views on it. And so for me, I think it was good. It was kind of like a wake-up call. Like, but I don't know. I had a lot of mixed feelings because for the most part, I had a lot of support on the video. Of course, you're always going to have your haters and your trolls that always have something to say. It was just for me though, it was kind of like I tell people I feel like I kind of found my purpose. And we always ask ourselves, like, why does this happen to us? Like, why me? But like in a weird, messed up way, I feel like this had to happen because and I it's cheesy to say this, and I really hate saying this, but it's almost like I found my calling in this because with me posting and sharing what I went through, I had so many women and even a handful of men reach out to me and share their stories of what they went through, something similar, identical, or even worse. And then I had a lot of people reach out to me thanking me for sharing and opening up because they wish they had the courage because they will never be in a situation, or they think they'll never be in a situation where they will have that support. And so, anyway, it's kind of been like a weird mix of emotions for that. But yeah, it's just been a lot to process, to say the least.
I can imagine, but I mean, that's like one of the great things that I think comes from sharing your stories, that there's so much power in helping other people feel less alone, because I think that sometimes gives like whoever is wronging somebody in a situation situation, it can sometimes give them so much power to think that, like, oh my God, you're the only person in the world who's been through this. But if you recognize that, like, this is a story that so many men and women have experienced, and I think there's so much healing and hearing from how other people have overcome it or coped through it. So based off of your experience, like, what have you learned from this relationship and from healing from it that you would love to share with others in terms of, like, just giving them advice?
Oh man. I mean, I've definitely learned a lot. And I always say, like, everything we go through in life, there's always some type of a learning lesson, whether we want to admit it or not. I go back and forth on this a lot because how was I supposed to know that the man who asked me to marry him was going to do this to me? I mean, when you put trust in someone, you never think, oh, you know, they're going to leave me high and dry. It's just not a thought. But I think for me, one of the many lessons I've learned is never to fully rely on someone financially specifically. Clearly, they can up and leave you at any point and not care about putting you in a financial hardship. So I definitely learned that was a big one. And then I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's obviously a lot of things that I can look at now moving forward. If I ever decide to start dating again, I guess maybe not giving someone so many chances. But then again, like this is. That's where I said I struggle because if you've never been with a narcissist or someone who is like a true narcissist, you don't know what behaviors to look for. And so hindsight, you know, after the fact, now I know what to look for. But again, I think I've been through this situation like way too many times. Like I feel like the trust is completely broken. I mean, once that trust is broken, it's broken. And me personally, I just never want to be in a relationship again because of what I had to go through. And even if I were to take these lessons in life and like never fully rely on anyone and like all the things, it's just crazy to trust someone so fully. Yeah, I think the biggest thing I can tell anyone is trust your gut and don't rely on anybody. Even if they say, oh no, let me help you. Like, I want to help you. I would never, you know, do anything to hurt you, or don't always believe them. Like you have to have that doubt. And that's really sad to say, but like, you know, you never know who someone truly is. And sometimes people's true colors take a lot longer to show than others.
On Thursday, we'll have another breakdown bonus episode for you, per usual. So for more commentary on season 8, episode 4, be sure to tune in, and I will see you whenever you decide to tune in next.